parade, I saved a bunch on motorcycle insurance with GEICO. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got some young minds that need molding.
GEICO Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side.
Remember that thing we used to open with? Good afternoon, and welcome to St. Louis' only live
show.
On in the
when
afternoon.
Did we stop doing that?
A long time ago. Yeah.
So sweet.
We all thought of that today. I don't know why.
We all took a vote and decided to stop doing that.
And then we were using Don LaFontaine for a while, too.
Yeah.
Because
he died.
Yeah.
But I not afraid.
Everybody dies.
This rover.
Ooh, push that button.
We still have that thing LaFontaine did in a world of rage. Do we still have that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can play that every once in a while. What did that guy have a voice?
Gold dust at my feet. On the sunny side of the street.
In a world of mundane talk radio, where they speak of nothing but politics and health tips, thank goodness for the large morning show in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's the voice I wanted. That's the voice I should have been born with. Still a handful of guys who sound exactly like him, and they still do all the movie trailers. And I don't know who it was that started that In a World thing, but it's like 8 out of 10 movies that are suspense, thrillers, they start, honest to goodness, with In a World.
Right.
Where, you know, where people usually go about their business day to day.
A movie where the... It's like almost like an alternate universe, you know, something that's not...
the apocalypse or something.
The same as...
But they also use it for... in a world where you think you know your neighbors and your friends, every once in a while, there's a surprise next door. You know? It's just... In a World goes with anything, you know? In a world that seems to be lacking in comedy, along comes a comedy that'll make you wet your pants. I mean, you could put it with anything.
That's why I love that we were just talking about it off the air before the show, that Keith Morrison, he's my favorite on Dateline.
Oh, my goodness.
He describes his whole episode pretty much like that.
I like it, but at the same time,
to be how he thought intended.
I hate it and I like it. It's almost irritating the way he does it.
The best.
If you want to know what we're talking about, watch any of those Dateline things where it's this 2-hour thing of, you know, they seem to be a happily married couple, but then things just weren't going well. I mean, he's so dramatic.
We watched one last night with Josh Mankiewicz. He's pretty good, too.
Yeah, he is good.
Yeah.
I think Dateline, NBC has the lock on those things.
Oh, my goodness.
Nobody else does it like the 48 Hours tries to do it, 2020. But.
The one we watched last night, it was from over the weekend, and it was a bizarre story about how this woman claimed to be kidnapped, and later she was in on the kidnapping and was trying to extort money out of her husband. And oh man, it was
crazy. No, I love the twists and turns.
It was great.
And then Morrison will do things like, you know, it looked like all the pieces of the puzzle were in place, or were they? Maybe there was a missing piece. And then the commercial break. And then he comes back. He's got it. He's the Casey Kasem of mysteries, I guess.
Oh, but here, I found something on YouTube here. Let's play this real quick.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring.
That's him.
Even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama and her kerchief and I and my cap and just settled down for a long winter's nap."
Oh, that's him, man. That's it.
Oh, my goodness. That's great.
And he could read anything like that. And all of a sudden becomes a big suspenseful thing. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It's the 23rd of April. Kind of a tradition the last few years. We start with what we call the Burke segment. For those of you... I'm starting to talk like Keith Morrison. Yeah. For those of you
who are new to
the show, it's... name comes from my history teacher in high school, Mr. Burke, who started class by saying, does anybody have anything to say? So I say to you two, does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right, I do. The words he said in Mexico on the beach 6 years ago?
It was five this past
5 years
February.
Ago.
Yep.
Probably starting to seem like six. Six will seem like 10,
oh,
and
no.
10 will seem like 20.
Seems like yesterday.
Yeah, sure does. When he married Angela. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Eon the Peon.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I saw this article today, and I thought it was interesting. Everybody talks about, you know, what...
the weather, but nobody does anything about it?
Well, that oh. too. And how, you know, how... great William Shakespeare was, you know.
Well, I wouldn't know. I don't read it.
Right. I don't either, necessarily. But these are 20 words that actually he's credited with creating.
Really?
And I just started thinking, how do you create a word? Especially, you know, like they can't find any documentation of some of these words he used in his plays before. Like eyeball. They can't find anywhere...
Eyeball?
Yes, they can't find anywhere before he used it in The Tempest.
So prior to that, they just called it eye? Your eye?
I guess, yeah.
Well, way to go, Bill.
Yeah, so Bill, addiction he created, arch villain, assassination, bedazzled, belongings, cold-blooded, disheartened, eventful, fashionable... half-blooded, inaudible, ladybird, manager, multitudinous. So, that's just weird to me.
Did he come up with shart?
I don't think so.
Because that's a good one.
But I guess that shows how intelligent he was, because if I were to sit down right now and
come up with a word,
Yeah, you could. How do you get it to stick?
You have to put out a lot of literature.
I guess
that people
that's
read.
The thing was he,
see,
had
a vehicle called
he
books.
Was, right, he was you know, pretty popular for
you,
his
you
time.
You put your new invented word in a bunch
time.
Of books that people buy, and then they'll start using it.
Yeah, no, that was just shocking to me. And then, well, I mean, and then who created the first word?
Oh, see, now you're getting me into something that I'll start getting a headache if I think about this. Because
at one point, we didn't speak.
No, we were just grunting.
And then who created the first word?
What was it? This is the kind of stuff with all the theologians and historians and anthropologists, nobody can answer that. I'll bet nobody can answer
It's like the universe. It's one of the unexplained things.
And then they added another word.
Yeah.
And then what was the first word, and what caused them to come up with it? Because prior to that, grunting was fine.
Right.
You know, meant let's go, and then means stop.
Right. And then, right, and then do you say a word, or do you write a word first?
I think you'd say it first.
You say it, and
then
how
do you decide what writing that word would be?
The letters.
Let's say the first word was...
the. I mean, it's probably the most popular word.
No, the is a connecting word for other words. It would be like light.
Tree.
Yeah. Tree. Yeah, tree. But why tree? It could just as easily have been blurt.
Rock. Right, and they say a lot of our English words are derived from Latin.
Okay,
but
well,
still,
who came up with the Latin words?
Yes, you know, who wrote the Latin language had to come
this
up
is,
with...
This is right in line with when we talked about who decided what you can and can't eat and drink when they're walking through the jungle. Well, let's try that. You eat it, you die, and the next guy goes, hey, don't eat that. It killed that guy. Look at him. He fell over dead. We're not eating that.
This is what my brain...
No,
instead
I think
of
that's,
working on things that are useful.
That's a good
for
one,
myself.
I think it's good. Who, what? Why wouldn't it be something if somebody could figure out what the first word
the very
was
first
that
word
a
was.
Human being ever came up with?
Right.
And then how they got from that to the second word, and then somebody had to sit down and go, "We need a way to use these words without speaking, like writing on something."
Yeah.
And then the alphabet had to.
The
be.
The Bible doesn't cover any of that, does
no.
it?
No.
No.
No. One of the great mysteries. Way to go. That means your mind is working.
On Family Guy, they were talking about jokes and where jokes came from. And they
well,
were
we've
like,
always wondered.
Where the heck did joke? Where the heck did this joke come from? And then they went to this place, and it's like it was a big building, and it said jokes on it. And they had a panel of people inside, and they're writing jokes. Okay, a chicken walks into a bar, and they're...
And maybe, look, maybe there... Wouldn't it be great if there was a place and somebody discovered it?
Yeah.
And the way they work, there's a... it's like a group of writers on the TV show. So you have sections... Over here, these people are all working with nothing more than a guy walks into a bar. Take it from there, okay?
Yeah.
Guy walks into a bar. You work on those jokes. Another guy, they're working on two blondes meet, fill in the blank, finish the joke. And then there's a group, the really clever people. They have nothing to start with. They just have to create a joke from the beginning. And I've tried it. We've tried it here. It's impossible. I mean, for us, for anybody, to just from scratch think of a joke. You know, even if you think of a punchline, okay, here's a punchline. And he said, no, I don't think he was ever here. Okay, that's the punchline. Now, try to build a joke around that. Good luck. Now, these are things that if you let it, will give you a headache.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope, that was all I had.
Anything from you, Dan?
I have nothing.
All right, I have nothing, says Dan Strauss. That closes the Burke segment. Burke segment is officially closed. Did you put this chick on our Facebook page yet?
Yes, she's there.
All right, folks, I sent Peon, he's the first person I thought of when I saw this. A listener sent me a video. It's an interview on a British morning show with Chelsea Charms. Chelsea Charms, obviously a fake name, has 164 triple X boobs. And she's surprisingly normal. Weren't you surprised? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched the first couple minutes
She can
of her
carry
talking.
On a conversation. She's not ditzy, stupid. You know, you'd think she'd just be an airhead idiot you couldn't converse
right.
with. She's not. She's very normal until you look down below her neck. And these monsters.
Oh, my goodness.
They weighed them, apparently, and it's the same weight each breast as two full-size watermelons.
Yeah.
So her breasts together are the weight of four full-size watermelons. And again, 164 triple X. It's on our Facebook page. It's an interesting interview.
She disfigured her body so she can make some money.
And so
that's
what
she does, feature dance. They call it feature dancing.
Yeah, over in England, here it's exotic dancing.
Yeah, sure. Where you're the headliner essentially at a strip club. You go to strip club, and you're like the headliner of that evening. And,
but when you see the video of her walking down the street with a sweater on, it's unbelievable. I mean, I thought Busty Hart had big ones. Remember, she got kicked out of
right.
Bush Stadium. She's the Cardinal game. They had a halter top on or something, and they escorted her out of there. And she was in our studio, and she took her top off, and these monsters were unbelievable. And I thought that was big. This chick makes Busty Hart look like Miss Fried Eggs.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
yeah.
Miss Flapjacks. They're huge.
Yeah, they asked her, did you intend to go this? And she goes, well, I always wanted to be big, but it just kind of happened.
It's like these tattoo people. It's like the tattoo people that get carried away. I was just going to do my arm, then I did both arms, then I did the whole arm, then I did my neck, and my head. Same thing. She started off as a D, natural D. She was well endowed as a teenager, and then I guess she wanted to be double D, and then she wanted to be F or G or whatever, and then after three or four of these things, she's 164 triple X. It's a really interesting interview, and I liked the two people on that morning show. I thought they were very good.
For all these
Brits that have taken over TV here, like the Piers Morgans of the world, who are pathetic. These two, the gal and the guy, I thought were very, very good. And so it's on our Facebook page, facebook.com. There are guys right now detouring to get to a computer. Facebook.com/AM and the PM, the video of the morning show interview. And it's about 8 minutes long. You do get to really get into her head a little bit as to why she did this. And obviously she did it to get attention, and that attention makes her money. And she says that when that all kind of fizzles, she will have them reduced. Can you imagine what the skin on her chest will look like?
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, they'll have to
cut it off
most of it.
And that's going to look horrible.
Her back's going to be, she's going to have back problems.
She says she has no back pain.
Wow.
At
this point, she said, I don't have trouble with my back yet. But she's a fairly young, not as young as I would have thought. What do you think? She was like late 20s or something? She wasn't a teenager. She was late 20s, I would say. So she says, and I'll bet you that's going to be disgusting looking when she gets rid of them, because I don't, the scars from cutting the skin, and, whatever. So Chelsea Charms is her name. Now, my son called me with a really bizarre story yesterday. I get a lot of bizarre, great stories from him, because when you're in the restaurant business, you employ a lot of people and a lot of different kinds of characters. And this really doesn't have so much to do with somebody being a character, is it just so happens that one of his ex-employees, a woman that he really liked, she was a great employee, and she left to take a better job, I think at Walmart in mid-Missouri. And he just found out that she has died. Now, she wasn't old. She just was a person that, let's put it this way, a lot of people in mid-Missouri have false teeth at a pretty young age. And I'm not saying this was the case with her, but as most of you know, Missouri is a huge crystal meth state. And crystal meth, most of it, eats people's teeth up. Now, I don't know if that's why she had dentures at such a young age or not, but she wasn't a kid, but she wasn't an old lady, but she had dentures, and she died because her dentures, or at least the uppers or lowers, got lodged in her throat, and she choked on her teeth.
Oh.
What a horrible way to go.
I've heard partly it's the meth, but then also when you're on meth, I think you are craving sugary things. So I think it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, then that eats your teeth.
Yeah.
She literally, her dentures, or I'm guessing upper or lower, whatever, got caught in her. What a horrible way to go, choking on your teeth. So that was the latest great. He's always got great stories. And the only other thing before we take a break, and then we'll take some calls. Dr. Doug will be with us today. The only other thing I guess we need to hit on is we'll talk a little bit about this swatting, this new
fad
among idiot teenagers. This is beyond belief, but really not, I guess. I think I believe anything anymore, where these kids make 911 calls and they call in a murder and give the police the impression that the killer is still an active shooter. So they send SWAT teams to homes. And it's a home that a kid has picked out because he's mad at another kid. So, Dan, like, I send a SWAT team to your address and tell them there's a guy in there killing. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And they interviewed a former SWAT team leader, and he said, you know, I think a lot of people think of SWAT teams as 5 or 6 guys. He said, no, it's about 70 guys, because not all of them are right on the scene. Some are positioned back, some on top of the house. Snipers, they bring these big battering vehicles in. He said it can be 50 to 70 people. It's very expensive, and this is not something we take lightly. And they're trying to find the kid. And this day of tracking and cameras and GPS, I can't believe it's that difficult to find the kid that called this in, and they'll find him.
Well, the story I saw, he called through the internet.
Yes, he's smart. He's technologically smart.
It's impossible to track that. It could be anywhere in the world.
Well, they need to find a way, and they said a lot of it happens when these kids get online and they're gaming, and a kid loses
Call of Duty.
To another.
That's what I heard.
Call of Duty.
He was somebody he was mad about that he was playing Call of Duty again.
Because the other guy won the battle, so to get even, he calls in a 911 call and sends a SWAT team to this kid's house. Now, if that kid had walked out of the house, they said when they got to the house and broke in, the kid had headphones on and was still playing something. Now, had that kid walked out with a controller in his hand that could have looked like a gun, they could kill that kid.
Yeah.
So one kid literally gets another kid killed. It's the stupidest thing. But you know what? It just there's a line of these stupid things. The knockout game, these kids surfing on cars, standing on a moving car surfing, they get killed. You know, I guess I'm not surprised.
It goes back to the fact, and we mentioned this before, kids are not afraid of anything anymore. They are just not afraid of any consequences.
But I remember being afraid of everything.
Oh, every adult. When I was a kid, every adult I was.
I was afraid to smoke. I was afraid to drink. I was afraid to curse. I was afraid to try to feel up or touch a girl, and certainly I wasn't going to do it with her. I was afraid of that. You might get pregnant. I might get a disease. I was afraid of the principal. I was afraid of the cops. I was afraid of my parents. I was afraid of the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, my teacher at school, my study room, my principal. I was afraid of everybody and everything. And the end result is I didn't do very much. Had a pretty dull existence, but I never went to jail. I never hurt anybody. And I guess overall it's probably a good thing. But I'm the opposite of these kids.
Yeah, can you even imagine prank calling 911 as a kid? I would be terrified.
I never even did the, hey, Prince Albert in the can, better let him out, huh? Hang up. You know, those kind of, hey, is your refrigerator running? Better catch it. Hang. I didn't even do that stuff. I was afraid that somehow somebody would trace the call and I'd be in trouble. I was always afraid of being in trouble. But you're right. There are kids now who nothing scares them. And I think they know enough about the law to know, well, I'm 15. I can't be tried as an adult. I'll probably put in the care of my parents, slapped on the wrist, pick up some trash, and that'll be it. So they know that. So they're not afraid of anything. We're going to take our first break. Let me give you the numbers if you want to call. We've got a lot of time to chat today. 314-969-KTRS, which is 969-5877. That's the one you want to try first. That doesn't work, go with 888-550-KTRS. Goodfeed Stores had a lot of great response over the last few years about Goodfeed. And that surprised me, and I'll tell you why. Some things are hard to sell. It's hard to convince. Financial advice, for example. And we've had tremendous success with Mark and Jason. So if this show can sell things that are difficult to sell on the radio, imagine what we could do for your business if you're wasting money somewhere else. But back to Goodfeed. When they came along, I thought, well, I hope this works. I hope I can find a way to get people to understand, one, what Goodfeed does, two, how they do it, and three, that it's worth looking into and should give it a try. And apparently it worked, because they've now been on with us for 6 years, something, 7 years, something like that. And here's what they do. They, for lots of people, eliminate pain that they're having, certainly in their feet, but in other parts of their body, but because they found out years and years ago that the source of that pain is your feet, for a lot of people. Now, there certainly are exceptions, but when you, and you don't have to be heavy, you don't have to work on your feet, it's all about weight distribution and pressure, and they can alter that so slightly that not only is it almost not noticeable to you? You're not walking any different. You still wear your same shoes. But where it is noticeable is when you get up to walk around and you go, whoa, I don't feel that pain that I normally feel. Then you know you got it. You know you found it. You found that relief you were looking for, and you did it without painkillers, medication. You did it without shots. You did it without surgery. And maybe this will be the answer for you. You're not going to know till you stop in. You start by telling them what hurts, where it hurts. And then they will take it from there. It doesn't take long, and you don't need an appointment. There are three locations in the St. Louis area. Olive, west of 270, across from Friday's. There's also a Goodfeed store in South County on Union Road across from Macy's, and one in Shiloh, Illinois, Greenmount Road across from Deerberg's. The Goodfeed Stores.
Meep, meep.
Let's see how traffic's moving along. Here's Tim Weiland.
Yeah, there's already some problems out there, Dan. We've got the westbound 70 that was completely shut down out in the Warrenton area. It had been shut down for quite a while, but right now they have just the right lane blocked. Boy, you've got several miles of a backup going westbound. The eastbound driver slowing down to take a look. Pretty good backup there. Now we've got another accident. It's on It's right at the 55-44 split. It's actually in the right lane, which is blocking the exit lane for Graboi, and that has traffic backed up to the Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic coming in from Illinois is also backed up on the Poplar on westbound 55-64. Otherwise, we just have normal traffic now starting to slow down a little bit from Hampton through McCausland on westbound 40, westbound 70. A little bit heavy out 170 past the airport. This traffic report is brought to you by Purolator Filters. Purolator invented the oil filter 90 years ago right here in the good old USA, and they've been trusted by professionals and do-it-yourselfers to keep it pure ever since. Purolator, keep it pure. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Volunteering today could mean medical breakthroughs tomorrow. Consider participating in a clinical research study at Covance. Visit testwiththebest.com today.
Hey, hockey fans, this is Andy Strickland.
And former Blue Jamal Mayers.
Don't be the last to know the scoop. Tune in for Hockey Sense live from O.B. Clarkson Brentwood,
where I'll be giving fans the details of the game, breaking down trends around the league, what it takes to win on a nightly basis, along with breaking down the challenges of what is a marathon season, 82 games.
Who's being traded, who's hurt, who's hot, who's not. Find out here.
Hockey Sense, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on KTRS.
Attention men, have you ever been embarrassed when the time was right but you just couldn't perform? Now you can. The secret is one visit to the St. Louis Men's Clinic. That's right. Men from 21 to 85 are performing better than ever before, regardless of age or medical condition. You get to try the medication containing FDA-approved ingredients right in their office. The medication gives you from 30 minutes to an hour and a half of full male performance. This is the most medically sound solution available and all without surgery. Your total cost for the doctor's visit, all tests including PSA and testosterone, is only $199. If their medication doesn't work, you pay absolutely nothing. If you have erectile dysfunction or you just want to perform much better, call now, 314-282-8780. That's 314-282-8780. Get your confidence back. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. 314-282-8780. That's 314-282-8780.
Did you know that a Nobel Prize was awarded for a medical discovery that improves your sexual performance? It's true. Nitric oxide was discovered to improve your sexual performance. It also miraculously improves your heart health, blood pressure, energy levels, your immune system, diabetes, arthritis pain, even your memory and mood. That's why millions of men and women have begun taking nitric oxide boosters as daily supplements. And right now, we're releasing free bottles of Peak Nitric Oxide so you can discover the benefits for yourself. Be one of the first 100 callers at 1-800-400-3181. After extensive research and clinical tests, nitric oxide has been described as the miracle molecule of the 21st century. Taken once a day, you'll not only begin feeling years younger, but we'll also send you free test strips to prove it works. Discover how to get your free bottle of Peak Nitric Oxide and free test strips at 1-800-400-3181. Be one of the first 100 callers. 1-800-400-3181.
The Cardinals return to St. Louis on April 25th to take on the Pirates in a 2013 postseason rematch. There are great promotions all weekend long, featuring a celebratory pennant flag that includes all 19 National League pennants, an adult replica Molina jersey with the 2013 Central Division Champions logo, and a Molina and Carpenter Silver Slugger Award mini bat. Great seats still remain, so get your tickets now at Cardinals.com.
Fans, this is hitting coach John Mabry, and on Sunday, April 27th, we face the Pittsburgh Pirates. That day, kids 15 and younger can take home a Louisville Slugger mini bat to commemorate the Silver Slugger Awards won by Matt Carpenter and Yadier Molina in 2013. It's a day the kids don't want to miss. Sunday, April 27th, the Silver Slugger mini bat giveaway. Get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotion.
Listen to these Cardinal fans up here, man.
Hi, I'm Jim McMillan. There's a name I want you to remember, and it's Fertilome. You've probably seen the name when you visit your favorite nursery. Just the sound of the name Fertilome makes you think of lawn and gardens, doesn't it? These folks have a whole line of very effective products like their Weed-Free Zone, a weed killer you can use in cool weather, root stimulator that will really build a strong root system on those little flowers, and one of my favorites, Fertilome Azalea Food for your evergreens. Fertilome products are only available at your local nursery or garden center, so when you visit this spring, be sure to look for the Fertilome name, and you'll discover many products that'll make your gardening efforts quick, easy, and effective. Oh, and when you have a question about how to grow something or a gardening problem, I'll just bet your dealer will give you the answer with a Fertilome product right in his hand. So get the solution to your garden problems today with a Fertilome product. Fertilome, its name says gardening success.
Breathe it in, kid. Clean, fresh air thanks to these new air handler filters. They're more energy efficient, hold more dust, and are stronger than ever. And Granger's got over 3,000 different styles and sizes to choose from. Just ordered a new batch from Granger.com today. I love oxygen, kid. And this facility's got some great AO2. I'm breathing easier just thinking about these air handler filters. Get some today. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Granger.com/airhandler or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Each and every weekday morning at 6:50, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus gives us insights into the financial markets and investing. To get your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and tune in weekday mornings at 6:50 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Is this, I think I recognize, is this Lawrence Welk?
Yes.
Yeah, I recognize.
There he is.
All right, calls are starting to stack up. Let's stack them up even more, and then we're going to jump right onto the phones. 314-969-KTRS. Or 888-550-KTRS. There's no topic. The topic is whatever you want it to be. All right, let's start with Mike. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm in the PM.
Well, thank you for that. We're doing fine. What can we do for you?
South Side Harry's son. I just want to call and say thanks for dedicating the show to him.
You know, you sound like Harry.
Yeah.
I can hear it. No, you've probably heard that before.
Yeah, I look just like him, too.
He had a little more gravel in his voice, but you still have the same sort of cadence and pacing. Yeah, we're going to miss Harry a lot.
Well, thanks, Frank. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your call. How's everybody doing, okay?
Oh, everybody's doing good. Yeah, everybody's doing fine, yeah. I've seen a lot of good people I haven't seen in a while. I've heard a lot of good stories, so it was really good. He really enjoyed the send-off. I'm sure he did.
So are you Southside Mike?
Actually, my name is Harry also.
Really?
Yeah, Mike's my middle name.
Harold Michael.
I just go by Mike because kids were a little cool in school when you went by Harry, you know?
So your name is Harold Michael, but you went by...
Harry Michael, yeah. Harry Michael.
So Harry Michael, but you went by Mike, I guess because your dad went by Harry?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, what do you want to be? Do you want to be Southside Harry Jr. or Southside Michael?
Southside Harry Jr., I would prefer that.
All right, Southside Harry Jr., thank you for checking in. We appreciate it.
All right,
thanks, Southside Harry Jr.
Hey, thanks, guys, appreciate it.
A long name, but I like it. Yeah. Southside Harry Jr. Tom is up next. Hello, Tom.
AM and the PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah. What's up?
Hey, well, I called for about a prank call, but that last Cardinal commercial or... deal you had. I want to try to do a Mike Shannon impersonation.
Well, now you're in the presence of one of the best, and that's Dan Strauss. He's
right.
Mike Shannon. So, you know, this is very brave on your part, but go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Listen to them Cardinal fans up there, man.
Maybe it's the phone.
It could be.
Maybe the phone is taking away some... try it again. Try it again.
Listen to them Cardinal fans up there, man.
How about try, get up, baby, get up, get up, get up.
Yeah, try that.
Get up, baby, get up, get up, get up, yeah.
No. I guess for you to really understand how bad that was, you need to hear Dan. Dan, give him some Mike Shannon.
Okay. Listen to them Cardinal fans right now.
See what you're up against?
Okay, you win.
Yeah, okay. Well, Tom, you're a good sport. Thank you for the call.
Hey, real quick.
Sure.
On the prank calls.
Yeah.
When the 911 came out, when it first came out, you know, they said, 911, this, that, and another. And I don't call because we'll be able to. I guess I was I wasn't a bad kid, but I just wanted to see if it worked. So we called it. We were at a friend's house, actually my parents' good friends. I call them, you know, the uncle and aunt that really aren't your uncle and aunt, but you've been over there enough.
Right.
Anyway, we called 911, and she says, 911, what's your emergency? And I hung up. And this was up in Hazelwood. Well, I'll be darned if it wasn't 3 minutes, they were knocking on the door.
Yep. They know where that call came from.
What? And we were in the basement, so my parents and Uncle Joe and Nana didn't have a clue. Well, no, the kids are down. Hold on a minute. And next thing you know, I'm getting whacked around the house at my aunt and uncle's house because it worked.
How old were you?
Oh, shoot, maybe 10, 11.
Did you come up and see the cops in the house?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. He brought me outside and let me know that, you know, he ought to take me away for a couple of days and let me realize what I did and blah, blah, blah. Scared the crap out of me.
Well, I'll bet you never did that again.
No.
When you're 10 years old, you know, three cops are talking to you.
Never called anything after that.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate the story. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Joe is next. Hello, Joe.
Yes. You was going on about the first word.
About the what?
You know, the first word.
The first word that man spoke, yeah.
I can tell you the first word and the second word.
All right. Is this going to be something that's arable?
No.
It's not?
Wait. I think he means not dirty.
Is it dirty?
No, it's not dirty at all.
Okay, then it is arable. Go ahead.
Was a caveman was walking along, grunting along, and lightning strikes a tree, and it catches fire. So he walks over and sticks his hand in the fire and goes, ow! You know, he looks at the second caveman and says, ow! The second caveman goes back to the cave, and he had a speech impairment, so he couldn't say ow, he said fire. So there's your first word and your second word.
That's the worst story I've ever heard.
Wow.
He had a speech impediment, so he said fire.
He was trying to say ow, and he said fire.
And how do they know that he had a speech impediment? Because they didn't know what speech was back then.
No, that's just Joe's story.
Okay, that's good.
And I think he hung up, so he realized.
He's still there. No,
he's still,
right,
Joe, you still there?
Yes.
Oh, wow, I'm surprised. Okay, well, that, you know, we don't have anything better to go on, so we'll have to figure that's as good as we have at this point for how the first word got created. It was a guy trying to say ow, but he had a speech impediment, and it came out fire.
Right, but the first word was ow because he stuck his hand in the fire.
We got that. All right, well, thank you, Joe.
All right, thank you.
All right.
I think
that sounds legitimate.
Someone called during the break, and they didn't want to hang on, and they hung up, but they said the first word was out of a caveman's wife. She just said no. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Did she have a speech impediment? I'll see if I can.
Let's get Denny in here, and it's Denny's job to pull this out and save it. Hello, Denny.
Hello, Frank. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm still calling from up here, Bear Lake, Minnesota.
Ooh.
I'm AM and the PM now.
Oh, thank you.
Hallelujah. Hey, I just wanted to know, how'd you like Fargo yesterday?
I loved it. I'm going to love every one of them. I can tell. And you sound like you should have been a cast member in Fargo.
How did you like it?
Because it takes place in, not as some people think, Fargo, North Dakota, but in Minnesota.
That's right. That's up here in Bear Lake. We love it.
Yeah, so you liked it, and you liked everything about it, and the accent's pretty authentic, you think?
I think so.
Yeah, I feel sorry for people who haven't latched onto this Fargo. Last night was the second episode.
I told you, it's the new Breaking Bad.
I'm hooked. I'm hooked already. Well,
drilling a hole in the ice.
What's the temperature up there now?
Well, it's not too bad, but I'm going to cut me some firewood.
Okay, well, thanks for staying with us and listening all the way up in Minnesota.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you, Denny. Hey, speaking of that, this guy sent me an email yesterday, and he said, I have a question. His name is Dave. He said, when I listen to the show, streaming or on like an iPhone or something, he said, does the station know it, and do you somehow get credit for me listening? And I wrote him back, and I said, no, I don't think we do. I don't think there's a way to track how many people are listening in Minnesota or Afghanistan or whatever.
Yeah,
if they're listening online.
I'm sure there is a way to do it. I don't know if they do it, but I'm sure there is a way.
I don't think we do. But it would be interesting to know how many people, because we certainly don't know how many people are listening in and around St. Louis. There's no way to know that.
Remember,
we have to go on is that stinking Arbitron, and we know how.
And you should be able to track people that listen online too on their computer.
I would think so, but I don't think we do.
I don't think we keep track of it. No, I've never seen any printout.
I remember we lost our signal to cars and everything else, and they said, hey, we're still online. We're still streaming.
And all the phones lit up.
Oh, yeah. We went on and asked.
Yeah, we were off the air in St. Louis, literally off the air, but we were still streaming. And we just said, hey, if anybody's out there, we're just going to take a break if nobody's listening. And the phones lit up like they would if we had been on the air. So somebody's out there. And Laverne's out there now, and she's on the phone. Hello, Laverne.
Hey, this is a first-time caller here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Welcome. What can we do for you, Laverne?
I'm the AM and the PM.
Well, of course you are. What's up?
I have a 911 call. Years and years ago, I had a condo, and I had spent all day cleaning my walls and everything else, and I decided to make a pie. Well, I had preheated the oven, and I was making a pie, and all of a sudden, my dog went woof, and I looked back, and there was smoke billowing out of my oven. I opened up the door, and the flames were just flaring through the oven, and I'm like, oh, my God, and I couldn't think of what to throw on the fire, whether it was salt or flour or sugar or whatever. So I grabbed my phone, I dialed 911, I said, hurry, I don't have the fire. Just tell me, what did I put in my fire? It's in my oven. And she said, hold on. And then I said, I ain't got time to hold on. So I hung up her phone, and I thought, I went in my pantry, grabbed a bag of flour, ripped it open, had flour nestled all over the place. But what happened was I had heated the oven, and I had a skillet in there with a plastic handle on a spatula. And as soon as it hit the water, the air, this thing, well, I called 911 back, and I said, I'm the lady that had the fire in the oven. Don't send the truck. I'm okay. I got it out. And just then the fire truck, who had just arrived basically across the street, came in, and I had black smoke all in my house. I opened up the door, and I'm waving my arms. I said, don't bring the hoses. I just finished cleaning.
Yeah. Don't flood my house, and don't take an axe and knock my walls down.
Yeah. Water and flour is not a good mix.
Yeah, and that was the one and only time I called 911, but I guess I need them, but then I didn't. So.
Well, they were there anyway, and good for them. Thank you, Laverne.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you know what? That's actually good to know, though, because if you called and then you passed out or something, apparently they know where that call came from. I mean, in this day and age, they're coming anyway. I take that back. I've called from the car 911.
I have too.
But I don't think... That's a good question. I'm trying to remember if I've ever called 911. And for the people who are old enough, Dan... Before there was a 911?
Call the operator.
Think about this, though. If you had a real emergency, I guess what we did was just hit, call
the operator. Operator, get me the police.
Because you didn't know the police phone number or the fire department. You don't have time to go look it up. It's an emergency. So I guess you just hit O. And what happens now if you hit O? I have not hit O in 30 years. Does somebody answer? No, honestly, does somebody answer if you hit zero now?
I guess.
No,
I
bet it's an automated thing.
No, I'll bet.
Should we try it?
Yeah.
We should. Let's try it.
Just try it. Hit O. And then we'll just hang up. We will. Because then we got to explain who we are and put them on the air.
AT&T Operator Assistance.
Oh, you're right.
The local time is 3:56.
All right, that's right.
If this call is an emergency, hang up and dial 911.
So there is nobody.
Press 1. For directory assistance, press 2. For AT&T residential service and repair.
You can still get directory assistance?
Additional assistance.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I didn't know that.
That don't know Google is around.
I didn't know that you could go and then press 1 and get directory assistance.
Remember, is it still that way too, where you were allowed two free calls to the operator a month or something through your
phone? Oh, man, I remember that.
411.
And if you was that 411?
411, yeah.
And then they charge you after that. Was it, was it 1411 or 411?
I think it was just 411.
It was 411, then it became 1411, and then if they said, we will connect you for an additional charge.
Oh, yeah, directly to the number. Yeah.
All right, here's how old I am. I remember the voice on the other end saying, you would say, information, please, to the operator, and she'd connect you with an information operator, which was essentially directory assistance.
Yeah.
But it's good to know if you call, you're right, you get a recording, but she said, for directory assistance, dial 1. No, you can still do that. We got to do that, too, and see what happens, and see if they'll actually give you somebody's phone number. We'll do maybe that later or another time. Now we're going to talk about advice, about financial advice, which means we're going to talk about Mark and Jason, Mark Reardon and Jason Becker, two real people, real guys, who have 27 years with Stifel Nicolaus. And here's why you would call them and set up a meeting, because you have $25,000 or more to invest, or that's already invested, meaning you have $25,000, you can have it in a shoebox, you can have it in a mutual funds, you can have it in the bank, a CD, it doesn't matter. If you have $25,000 or more, and it could be 401k money, by the way, if you change jobs, you better get some good advice from somebody, because a lot of people screw that whole thing up. There's a time limit on moving that 401k money. There's some rules so that you don't get penalized, you don't lose any money. Get some good, solid advice about that, and they're Mark and Jason would be happy to give you that advice. Retiring, people, you're lucky enough to be retiring. Another good reason to get good, sound advice on what to do regarding that 401k money. 27 years with Stifel Nicolaus. Strong practice. You don't have to call them. You might think, well, I have plenty of time to come up with a plan. You may be in your 20s thinking that. And then in your 30s, you go, well, I'll do that when I'm 40. And I'll still have 20, 30, 40 years. And then you're 50, and you think, well, I guess in the next couple of years. And then you realize, if I'd just done this earlier, when I had the 25 or more, wow, it's possible I could really have stacked up a lot of money by now. It's up to you. This is something you have to decide to do. And if you already have an advisor, my advice is to call them anyway and set up an appointment. Get a second opinion. It starts here, markandjason.com.
Here's what you missed on the Martin Kilcoyne Show.
Jamie Siminoff, you may have seen him on ABC's Shark Tank.
I am a fan of the show, so being on it was crazy in a way. They tape you for almost an hour, and they cut that down to what you see on TV, which is about 10 to 12 minutes.
After they turned you down on Shark Tank, you have since gotten funding and sold 3 million of these. Now, any temptation to email Mark Cuban or any of the others from Shark Tank and say, look at me?
Not yet. I'm holding back a little more. I'd like to rub it in at some point.
The Martin Kilcoyne Show, weekdays from 10 a.m. until 1 on the Big 550 KTRS.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New clemency rules announced by the Justice Department today. Deputy Attorney General James Cole says too many people in the past have been sentenced to spend far more time in prison than they would if they committed the same crimes today.
The